Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Vetter, Scott Eklund. Day two, spring ball 2021 in the books. A little bit warmer today at times with the sun out, but still kind of a brisk day out on the shores of Lake Washington. And for those who've never been to a practice at Husky Stadium, they don't practice in the stadium as much as they do on that east field, which is much closer to the water. And then in addition, we're sitting up a little bit higher, so we don't have anything to shield us from the wind, but I stood next to Hugh Millen for most of the practice, and Hugh was dying, and so it was still a little bit cold out there. But a day where the defense dominated. But, you know, when we talked to Jimmy earlier, he said that he expected the offense to be ahead of the defense. That surely wasn't the case today.
Well, I'd say certain aspects of the offense were looking pretty good. I'd say that the running backs, some of the running backs had a really good day. I think Cameron Davis started out with the ones. You know, Caleb Berry showed some things. JV on Sunday was running hard again, and you could tell the defense, some of the secondary guys had a, I don't know if they had a thing waiting for him in terms of maybe getting a little pop here and there on him, but I don't know. Would you say would he be a wanted man already in the second day of spring ball? I don't know if we can say that, but I think the hit he did make on Cameron Williams on Wednesday certainly sent a warning note to everyone. So I thought that was a little interesting. And then I actually liked what Sam Adams did a little bit on offense today. I thought he ran the ball hard and did some nice things. Kamari Pleasant as well. But the quarterbacks struggled, I think, a little bit because the defense just didn't give them anything. I think it was really, really tough all day for the offense to get much going. And I think that's really a testament to just how well the defense played overall. And everybody seemed to be on the same page. We talked to Bob Gregory and Akaika Molloy, and they had some things to share that we'll talk about. But I thought overall this was a day for the defense.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to tell if that was really the defense or just what they were trying to accomplish. You know, what were they trying to do on offense? Was that new stuff that they were putting on offense? And, you know, what were they trying to do defensively? So sometimes it's hard to tell. But, you know, I thought that for the most part, if you were going to give the win today, it would go to the defense, Scott.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's also the fact that these defensive guys see the same offense every day in practice, and eventually they're going to be able to read things and see where things go. And if they're doing their film work, they know, hey, with this formation, this is what we usually do. So blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, you try not to take too much from either day. But I thought the defense definitely had a better day. Linebackers had a good day. They got in some pressure on the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks weren't as sharp as maybe I think a lot of people would hope they would be, obviously, but they weren't terrible either. It was just one of those days.
Is it just me? Because I'm just having a tough time taking my eyes off of Dominique Hampton, as big as he is back there playing that position.
I don't think it's just you. I mean, he's flying around making plays. He and Cameron Williams are running with the ones at safety. He looks big, athletic. Was it Gregory that was talking about him being big, athletic, doing all of the things that they want him to do. He plays a physical brand of football. I think a lot of it's just going to be learning because things are different playing safety. You're keeping things in front of you more. You're not running with. You're keeping it in front of you and reacting. And then you need to be physical in the running game, which is something that Washington lacked last season during the four games that they played. And so they need to get better safety play, and hopefully he can help with that. Hopefully Asa Turner gets better. Hopefully Cameron Williams gets better. Hopefully Alex Cook gets better. You know, we need to see more from that group.
You mentioned, you know, Cam Williams and Dominique Hampton running with the ones, and I can just imagine people freaking out right now. What about Asa Turner? What have either one of you seen out of Asa Turner so far?
Not a lot of reps. I don't know about you, Chris, but I haven't seen a ton of reps. I've seen him taking a lot of mental reps in install and doing a lot of different things. But when it comes to actual live reps. I haven't seen that much from him. He's been in there a few times, but it's been mostly trying to get – my guess is the coaches want to get Dominic Hampton as many reps as possible, get him on tape so they can see what he's doing, but also get him some reps to get him ready for the season.
Well, I was going to say, too, that the way they have the practice set up when they're doing their team periods, they're back-to-back going to each end zone, and there's one side, and it's usually the ones and the threes – that are going into the north end zone, and that's the one that is pretty much right in front of the media. So we really aren't paying as much attention to the other side. And
partly because it's hard to see that far.
Yeah, so for instance, I was really hoping to get a little bit more information on Patrick O'Brien today, but he was taking most of his reps with the twos, and they were on that side of the field, and it wasn't as right in front of you, you know, eye candy type stuff. So I saw some good things that he did, but that's also a situation where a guy like Asa Turner, if he's running a little bit more with the twos now, he could get lost a little bit over there in terms of what the media is seeing.
And there again, you know, it could have been the packages that they're running early because different personnel is in on different packages. So even though we may not be seeing as much of Asa Turner in the first couple of days, you know, that could change tomorrow.
It's spring. Everybody, they we've said it before, we'll keep saying it. The coaches mix and match. I mean, Draco Bynum got some run with the ones. Does anybody think that the way things have been going in his career that he's going to be with the ones on a regular basis?
Yeah, Michelle Powell, yeah, for instance, was a corner with the ones, mm-hmm, doing some work. So there's certainly some mixing and matching going, yeah, on. We saw one situation where with the ones, they were running the entire two secondary that was all of the freshmen. So you had Elijah Jackson and James Smith at the corners, and you had Jacoby Covington and Mikel Esteen at the safeties. So just like with the offensive, mm-hmm, line, with the all-freshman offensive line, sometimes you're just they're going to want to see whole groups together that were brought in as recruits to see what they can do.
With the departure of Leatu Latu with the neck injury and retiring from football, there's going to be more of a focus on that outside linebacker spot. And kind of Jeremiah Martin kind of caught my eye today too.
Yeah, I thought he did okay. I didn't see him do very much, but he was out there with the ones opposite Ryan Bowman. I think the quote after practice that kind of made us raise our eyebrows, we talked about
everybody
it.
Everybody raised, yeah, their eyebrows.
Was somebody asked a question about Braylon Trice and his progress. Me. Oh, yeah, about his progress. Why don't you just say what he said?
Well, no, it was just interesting because
Ikaika Malloy.
This was, yeah, we were talking to Ikaika Malloy, and Mike Farrell had just asked a question about Jordan Lolohea, who obviously is another guy who was here last year but didn't play. And so everyone's wondering about his progression and what he's going to be able to do because he's a bigger guy, you know, 270, what have you. Well, Braylon Trice did not play last year, but, you know, he's another guy that's come up, came in at 230, has moved up slowly but surely. I think he's listed at 245 or whatever now. So I was just asking, as another guy that we haven't gotten a chance to really see yet, what's the prognosis for a guy like Braylon Trice? And Ikaika Malloy said, basically, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he should be better than Joe Tryon. Okay.
The room kind of went silent.
Really?
And yeah, he clarified it a little bit. He wasn't really asked to clarify, but he clarified a little bit saying that, really, what you should see from a guy like Braylon Trice this fall is the path that was similar to what Joe Tryon took before he really broke out in 2019. So basically, the 2018 Joe Tryon is basically what we should see for the 2021 Braylon Trice.
Which, if you remember with Joe Tryon, we didn't see him really do a lot until the second half of the season.
Right.
And then he had a couple sacks and everybody was encouraged. Yeah. And then he comes out in 2019, struggles early in that, especially in that Cal game to stop the run. But once he got past that, then that's when he exploded and ended up with, what, 8.5 sacks and all that.
Well, I think it's still going to be difficult for a guy like that, even though, you know, Coach Malloy says he's on the trajectory of a Joe Tryon. He's still got a lot of guys in front of him. They're stacked at that position.
Well, they are, and it's ironic because they lose a guy like Leatu Latu, who, you know, Ikaika Malloy reminded us was actually in front of Zion Tupuola-Fatui in 2019 as a true freshman. He was, you know, Zion was his backup for a while. And so to lose a guy of that caliber is really, really bad. But Jeremiah Martin, when you look at a guy who's 6'5", 260-plus, getting to 270, Ikaika Malloy really talked about him as a guy who can cover. and was good in space, which I think is interesting because obviously everyone's going to want to know what he can do rushing the passer, and that's where, you know, you kind of get your marquee star if you're a outside linebacker. But if you can really cover guys in space, that's huge as well. And Akiko Maloy says that Jeremiah Martin can do that. So if he can do that and he can continue to step up and raise his game, there's a chance that Martin could step into that Latu role and offer a lot of the same things that Leiatu Latu would have done for this defense.
Staying on the defensive side of the ball, defense had a couple of picks, a couple of interceptions today, but they also had a couple of drops.
Yeah, so the two picks were by Julius Irvin against Patrick O'Brien, and then Kasen Kinchin had a – I guess it could have been one of three guys because Sam Heward threw it into triple coverage. Kasen Kinchin ends up intercepting a pass intended for Devin Culp. Dylan Morris was not picked, but he basically should have been picked at least twice that we saw. Trent McDuffie drops one that it still would have been a tough grab, but he can easily make that. And Elijah Jackson has one where Romo Dunsey goes outside, and Dylan Morris throws it inside, and Elijah Jackson is just right there, and it bounces off his chest. So, you know, it is what it is. It's just that time of the year. But two drop picks. Those guys were you could. It, what's funny is so the offense is below us on the east field, and the defensive side is on the other side, so we can see everything, all of their reactions to stuff. And when the drops happen, you can just see the whole group over there on the sideline just go, oh my god, you know, just lamenting everything. But couple turnovers, and then Sam Heward also had a fumbled exchange on a center snap that I think was picked up, but they didn't really call it that way. But yeah, so just a couple of miscues on the offensive side.
Richard Newton back today, and didn't take long for him to establish himself. What was the wording that Jimmy used when he talked about him? Expect a completely different Richard Newton. I think when you take a look over at that running back crew, the way he was moving and just the attitude he was carrying, it's not hard to figure out Richard Newton's the guy in that room right now.
Well, it's interesting because they're starting to really stack up, because everyone, you know, 2 years ago, Richard Newton was that third down, short yardage, goal line guy. I think he scored, what, 10 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns?
He scored 10. Savon had 11.
Yeah, so it was just, you know, you could tell exactly. I mean, he had kind of built a niche for himself. Well, now he's looking more like an every down type of back. But the interesting thing is they really didn't use him that way in 2020, even though, again, small sample size. But he is a power back. Kamari Pleasant's now 230. I think Caleb Berry has now been upgraded to 220 on the official Go Huskies roster. JV on Sunday is running like a man possessed. I mean, this room got big in a hurry.
Well, you talk about Richard Newton being a power back, and you talk about him being big, but the thing that stood out to me, you remember when Deontay Cooper first got here and he kind of pranced like a deer when he ran? I saw a little bit of that in Richard Newton today with that lightness and the quick feet out there, and I'm going, holy crap. He was a different-looking dude out there today.
Yeah, he was breaking down angles for guys. The defensive backs had angles on him on the sidelines, and he was able to outrun them. So it was, it was impressive. You hadn't seen that kind of a burst from him since he arrived at Washington.
Yeah, he definitely looks like the guy. He looks like the class of that group, you know, so far. There's a long ways to go, but, you know, as big as he is and athletic as he is and the way he was moving and being so light on his feet, I'm looking forward to some pads popping with him out there.
Well, it's interesting because you say he might be the class of the group. Well, obviously, JV on Sunday's turned a lot of heads with the first couple practices that he's had. But I think think Scott may agree with me a little bit here, too. I think the guy that's really showing out the best is Cameron Davis. Yeah. I still think Cameron Davis. I mean, he was running with the ones to start out today. He looks like he's got the entire package. Like, he's not just a power back. We saw what he did. Was it Arizona? I don't remember which game it was, where he basically dragged about six guys with him last year.
It
was like one of the plays of the year. I mean, it was incredible. He's got that power element to him, but he's an incredible, he's got some slash to him, one cut and go type of guy, but he is a smooth runner, and he accelerates in and out, and he cuts. he's got the full package to me, where I think a lot of these other guys have won two or three of those things, but I don't know if they've got everything that a guy like Cameron Davis has. And again, he can also be used out of the backfield.
As good a running back room as I've seen here in a long time, Scott.
Yeah, well, it's deep. You got a lot of bodies. You better be able to find four or five guys that are serviceable for you. Sean McGrew, I thought, did a few things today. He had a pretty decent day. I didn't see.
And he was one of the guys that they really didn't use all that much. I saw Kamari Pleasant a bunch with the twos running through. And again, he's going to give you. He's going to give you effort. He's going to be a guy that they can use in the pass game. So we know a lot about those other guys, but Cameron Davis, we're expecting to explode. JV on Sunday, obviously, we hadn't seen last year. Now you got Caleb Berry to the mix. I mean, there's so many new faces that those are the guys that I'm kind of focusing on right now.
On the quarterbacks, there's three quarterbacks that are basically in the mix with Patrick O'Brien, Sam Heward, and Dylan Morris. And after day two, I think the pecking order is still the same Dylan Morris and then Patrick O'Brien and Sam Heward.
Well, yeah, I mean, the pecking order will be that way, I think, all the way through the first couple weeks of fall ball, even. you really won't see things start to shake out, I don't think, until we're probably talking third week of August, when they really start to ramp things up toward getting ready for Montana and also do a little Michigan prep as well. I think Sam Heward, he's got so much natural ability as a passer. He can place it really well, but his footwork was terrible today. You could tell I think things were really going through his head. I think his head was spinning. I think he didn't know what he was seeing sometimes. And Chris made the great point that after every throw, even the good ones, even the ones that were completed, Donovan and Heward would huddle for about 20 seconds before he sent him into the actual huddle. And they were able to talk, hey, what did you see there? Okay, this is what you should have done, or this was your read, or this is where you should have gone, whatever it was. And so I thought that was kind of interesting to watch that after you had pointed it out, Chris.
Yeah, it was like instant feedback after every throw, good, bad, and different. And I think probably just to make sure they're all on the same page as well. And I could even tell where Sam was watching intently and getting feedback from those guys, even when Dylan Morris was going through his reps too. The term I would use, and we've used it forever, Kim, guys drinking water through a fire hose right now. I mean, you can just tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were some throws where you could tell it was one of those things where it looked confusing or they were throwing something at him, and then he tried to throw a pass out in the flat, and he missed him by like 5 yards.
Easily,
It was something you would expect a true freshman to do, but not a kid of Heward's caliber. And right there and then your instant reaction as a guy who's been covering this team for a long time is, yeah, Donovan's in this kid's head big time right now. He is learning so fast, so much stuff, that it's like drinking water through a fire hose. And I think that this is going to be something that, at least for the next week or so, it's just going to be nothing but terminology and try to deal with the speed of what's seen there. And the thing is, the defense, they're not even going 100%. They can't. So there's so many things that are going on right now for Sam Heward, and he's going to be so much better coming out of this as a result. But right now, I guarantee you, he is probably super frustrated.
Yeah, welcome to college football moments kind of suck.
Absolutely.
But, they don't hurt like the defensive and offensive linemen get welcome to college football moments, but he had a couple of those today. But Dylan Morris, just being Dylan Morris, I saw a nice escape, and he showed a burst today, you know, getting to the outside.
One thing just kind of getting back to Sam, but it's also about Dylan too. Sam makes a nice read, makes a nice throw, and Dylan Morris was the first one to congratulate him, came over, high-fived him, said, you know, that's it. That's what you're supposed to be doing and stuff. And you can see, you know, that there's a battle between those two guys plus Patrick O'Brien, but you can also see those guys have known each other since they were little kids. I mean, they've been in the same circles. They've been throwing to a lot of the same guys, throughout the years as they were growing up, and those guys have known each other for a while. That being said, Kim, yes, I thought Dylan had a couple nice throws, but he also had a couple where you're just like, wow, okay, there's still a long way to go. And you know what? Even all pro future Hall of Fame quarterbacks struggle at times in the spring. because they're trying out new things. They're getting used to new receivers. They're getting used to maybe some new play calls. They're getting used to new offenses. Whatever it is, there's some struggle from no matter what level of talent and accomplishment that some of these quarterbacks have, they're still going to struggle at times.
Yeah, and I was going to say just – as much as if of any of those three guys, Dylan Morris is the one that's going to be on the same page with all the receivers, right? Well, on the one that should have been picked by Elijah Jackson, it was Roma Dunze and him not being on the same page. So you can tell, this again, spring ball, this is what it's for. It's for working out the kinks. It's for getting back to the fundamentals. It's trying to make sure that everybody is communicating and making sure that they've got the terminology straight. And it's going to be obviously more so for guys like O'Brien and Heward, but even for Dylan Morris. Again, we have to remember, only four games played. He's still very much learning what's going on. And everybody on that offense is still learning what John Donovan wants them to do with this pro-style attack, because there's so much more that they can get out of it.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, too, because, you know, take a look at Dylan Morris and Sam Heward, and they're pretty much the same body type. You know, Sam's probably a little thinner because he's younger, but Patrick O'Brien, he's just a different body size.
Well, he's Jacob Eason or Jacob Sermon or any of those other 6'5", 230-plus type of guys that you want to mention. I mean, he definitely offers a different dimension for sure. And he throws the ball really, really well, again, because – when they were running their team, they were going into the south end. It was a little tougher for us to see. There were some good throws. He made a good throw to the walk-on tight end, Wilson Schwartz. Mm-hmm. He made a couple good throws, I think, to Mark Redman. Had a couple of good catches as well. So he's starting to understand some of the things that they want him to do. I want to say, if I remember correctly, his coach at Colorado State, was that Bobo? Was that Mike Bobo?
It started that way.
The first year was with Mike Bobo. Mm-hmm. Well, again, Mike Bobo, again, he's a guy that would understand a lot of pro-style concepts and whatnot. So I think this is not something that Patrick O'Brien is going to be super unfamiliar with. I think he'll pick it up rather quickly because he's so experienced. But, again, this is one of those things with the quarterback battle. I'm kind of wondering how it's going to shape up because, again, I kind of almost agree with you, Scott, in the sense that that pecking order of Morris, O'Brien, Heward may be going on well past this spring and maybe well into the fall even, simply because of so much newness and so much things that are going on with this attack, both running and passing, that the quarterbacks need to basically get a grip with. And clearly in the first couple days, they're not struggling, but it's not coming easy.
Yeah, day two. I mean, like I said, a lot of it just has to depend on what they're trying to accomplish, the installs that they're running and the defenses they're running. And a lot of the time they're trying, you know, what the practice is you're going to see is because it's designed to do what you're seeing. But Saturday practice starts at 10:30. It is open to the public. You have to register for it, and I'm not even sure of the details, but it'll be interesting to see because they've exclusively practiced on the east field, so I'm not sure that the fans are going to be able to see what's going on.
It's going to be in the stadium.
They're going to practice inside the stadium. Okay.
Yeah, because media has to sit where the fans are sitting. They're basically in front.
First five rows of the purple section is where the media will be, and then the fans will be up above.
Yeah. Well, I can promise you, if it starts raining, I'm moving up above.
I don't know. They might not let you.
Yeah, good luck on that. It's not supposed to rain tomorrow.
No, it's supposed to be nice, actually.
So it'll be good to have the fans back out there. And
One thing I need to say is, as I was driving across the 520 bridge, just for those who are coming from the east side, as I was driving across the 520 bridge this morning, it said that the westbound Montlake Boulevard exit will be closed from 3 a.m. And I'm pretty sure it said to 10 a.m. Tomorrow. That could conflict with you. So just be aware of that when you're taking your drive into Washington.
So what that would mean, they would probably go all the way up to 5.
5
and then take the first exit
or 45th.
Take the 45th exit north and go to UW that way.
I mean, it adds, an extra 5 minutes onto it probably, but I'm just – don't want people to be thrown off.
Yeah.
That's all.
And to be honest, even if they aren't, you know, you can still get to UW even if you keep going. So don't be too concerned.
Final thoughts, Chris Fetters?
Just again, I was really – it was weird because you kind of go in – and you feel like you want to cover certain things in the media. And today I really did want to focus on the quarterbacks and kind of get a real distinct sense of what's separating Dylan Morris from Patrick O'Brien, from Sam Heward. And it just was one of those things where the defense just took everything away in a lot of senses. And so kind of scrapped that pretty quickly. But overall, I'd say still I thought the running back group looked really good when they got a chance to do their thing. And the defense already looks pretty sharp to me. I mean, they look like they're on it, and they're getting contributions at all the different levels, whether you're talking about Taki Taimani and Thule up front. Jacob Bandis, I thought, had a nice practice today as well. And then even the guys on the edge. Cooper McDonald showed up a couple times when he was going up with the two. So, you know, I think that there's some guys that are really starting to step up a little bit. But I cautioned people in my analysis the other day, these things can change from practice to practice pretty quickly. And I think you kind of mentioned that a little bit too, Kim, that it's just you kind of almost have to take every practice as it is, as it comes. And then hopefully by the end of it, we can maybe start to piece together some general observations and some ideas and analysis of what's to come. But again, another one in the books. Hopefully it'll warm up on Saturday and get after it again.
It is not expected to warm up on Saturday. It's a high of 48. And then when you're down close to the water, that wind whips up. And for those who are coming to practice on Saturday, bring layers, bring hand warmers. It is not warm. And if you're underdressed and you're a shorts guy, I'll just be laughing at you. Final thoughts, Scott Eklund?
One thing we didn't mention, and I shame on me for not mentioning it. Fetters and I were talking about it, that Zion Tupuola-Fatui really took Sam Peacock and Roger Rosengarten Rosengarten to school. He said, get ready, guys, because this is what's going to be coming at you every day, whether it's here in practice or once you actually get in the game, because he ran circles around those guys. And that was kind of I don't think it was a welcome to the Pac-12 kind of moment, because those guys were here last year, but I think now the pressure's on them to get in that mode of, hey, I gotta handle this kind of stuff. So that was kind of interesting. As far as the rest, I can't help but agree with you, Chris. The defense won the day. Thought the offense had a few flashes here and there, but those of you who are coming tomorrow, keep an eye out for number 4. That's bookie Radley Hiles. Keep an eye out for number 9 on defense. That is Jeremiah Martin. Jalen Polk is 23 on offense. And then Patrick O'Brien is in the gold jersey on number 10. So those are guys that you guys haven't seen before, and they should make some impact. And it'll be fun for you guys to be finally out here. I'm looking forward to finding out how many people actually show up, because people have been jonesing for this.
And I suppose they'll probably also be curious about how number 7 is doing too. So number 7 in gold might get a little bit of attention.
Yeah, and if you're coming to practice, just, you know, they're not going to hand out rosters, but, you know, if you have a phone, just go to GoHuskies.com and click on the football tab, and you can go to the roster, and you can sort it by alphabetical or number. So, you know, feel free to go to GoHuskies.com. So just a reminder, if you're looking for those daily updates as well as breaking news alerts, just shoot us a note, HuskyStadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. In addition, we're running half off our annual subscription right now for those that are listening. Who haven't subscribed, lots of good stuff behind the paywall that you'll be missing out on. And make sure and check out the hardcore football, hardcore basketball, and hardcore recruiting boards. So you could probably tell that I've got a little bit of a cold. Yeah, I got the vaccine scheduled for the second one, but I thought that might make me immune, but I still got a little bit of a cold. So anyways, for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.